The UEFA Champions League semi-final first leg started in style on Tuesday night, with the competition's greatest ever goal scorer up to his old tricks again.
Casemiro leaves it to Cristiano Ronaldo! It's another hat-trick! It's another brilliant performance from the Portuguese! Real Madrid 3, Atletico Madrid 0.
Then on Wednesday, Juventus took control of their semi-final against Monaco, thanks to a star striker of their own.
In towards Higuain, stretching and gets there, and scores his and Juventus's second goal of the semi-final. It could make a major difference in the tie of this one. Juventus completely on top.
So two commanding performances from two of Europe's best. We'll bring you all the reaction from both first leg ties, hearing from Zinedine Zidane, Luka Modric, Stefan Savage and Giorgio Chiellini. Plus a look ahead to next week's second leg encounters. Stay with us right here on Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by UEFA.com's European football expert, Paul Saffer. Paul, two fascinating nights and two teams that will really feel they're going to be in that final in Cardiff.
Absolutely. Real Madrid with that Cristiano Ronaldo hat-trick. He's now up to 52 goals in knockout football in UEFA Champions League. Incredible stuff. And then Juventus on Wednesday night, Higuain with the two goals, both made by Dani Alves. Higuain only had two knockout goals to his name before Wednesday's game. He scored two more to put Juventus very, very close to Cardiff indeed.
So a reminder of the classified results from the two semi-final first legs. On Tuesday, Real Madrid beat Atletico by 3-0 in the Madrid derby. And of course, it finished Monaco 0, Juventus 2 at the Stade Louis II. Let's start with Tuesday's semi-final first leg, then between Real Madrid and their neighbours. Your commentator for the match at the Bernabeu was UEFA.com's Richard Kaufman.
They have it on the edge of the air again, Real Madrid. Sergio Ramos with a cross, headed away only as far as Casemiro. And there's Cristiano Ronaldo with the first goal of this UEFA Champions League semi-final. Didn't take long. 9 minutes for Real Madrid to get their noses in front. Piqué's won it, feeds it into Gamero. What a save by Keylor Navas. Because it looked as if Gamero was going around him. But he stopped him in his path. Isco gives it back to Ronaldo. Little step over. Goes one way. Trying to tease Lucas Hernandez. Gets it across. Oh, my goodness. Benzema with the acrobatic overhead kick. Almost finds the corner and just goes wide. What a goal that would have been. Benzema, edge of the area. He gives it to Ronaldo, who gets away from Felipe Luis and finds the corner with a thunderbolt of a right foot. Gets to the byline, pulls it back, Casemiro leaves it to Cristiano Ronaldo. It's another hat-trick, it's another brilliant performance from the Portuguese. And it's 1 foot into the final for Real Madrid. Lucas Vasquez, the tormentor. Cristiano Ronaldo, El Matador with the finish. Real Madrid 3. Atletico Madrid 0.
Another truly great UEFA Champions League night for the one and only Cristiano Ronaldo. He's now scored 8 goals in his last 3 games in the competition, 5 against Bayern and 3 against Atletico. Paul Saffer, that would rank one of his best.
Absolutely. I mean, 8 is already the joint record for knockout stages in any individual season. He's done it in 3 games. That's pretty amazing, and just the determination which Chan's always in the right place, always looking to get that extra centimetre, really, always looking to break defensive traps, and that's what did him the favours against Bayern. That's certainly what did him the favours against Atletico team, who admittedly looked a little bit subdued, but nothing subdued about Cristiano Ronaldo at all. He took some time to get going this season. I think the first half of the season he wasn't quite the absolutely Cristiano Ronaldo firing all cylinders we've been used to, but he certainly has been in recent times, both in the Liga and certainly in the UEFA Champions League. Now he's got that 100 goals in Europe, got the 100 goals in the UEFA Champions League, now 52 knockout goals. So more than half of his goals in the UEFA Champions League come in knockout, 52 in knockout, 51 in the group stage. That's how much he loves these huge games.
His evolution has been fascinating as well, because Even when the ball's played into a channel and he can run onto it and beat a player, you don't necessarily back him to do that. It's more in the penalty area now that he seems absolutely ruthless.
It is. I mean, look, as you said, the evolution from the player who was once signed by Manchester United from Sporting as sort of the tricky winger, and the way that he's gradually come into just a deadly centre-forward. And in fact, with obviously a scoring record since he's been at Real Madrid, which compares to any of the great centre-forwards have ever been, be it the Gerd Müllers or Di Stefano, whoever you want to compare him to. I mean, he's taken most of their records. Even in terms of scoring rates, he's done it. He's got all the international scoring records in UEFA competitions as well for Portugal as well. And, of course, his determination to win, the way he can drag a team around him. Look at even the Euro final, he was not on the pitch for most of the game, yet you'd have to say it was close to being one of the men in the match. Yeah. From what he did on the touchline, the fact that he makes the players around him perform to his level, and that's why he's managed to get Portugal to be European champions, and why Real Madrid, having waited so long for that 10th title, are now looking to win it three times in 4 years. There's nobody else successfully defended UEFA Champions League title. They're very close to having the opportunity to do it. It won't be easy. They still want to get past Atletico. They've still got to beat whoever they play in the final, probably Juventus. But it's the determination of Cristiano Ronaldo, not a young man now, a man that's won pretty much everything now and several times has broken all the records. Yeah, his hunger, both his personal ambition to break the records and, you know, to show that he's the greatest, and also his ambition for his clubs to win trophies and to succeed themselves, is just not diminished. It probably keeps increasing.
Some of the headlines in Spain, and in particular in the Madrid press, after the performance from Cristiano Ronaldo, Marca's headline was, "What a beast." They wrote this: "It is a hat-trick that allows Los Blancos to start packing their suitcases, destination Cardiff." And as another Madrid publication had the headline, "The boss or the owner," is exactly how it would translate on their front page with a big picture of Cristiano Ronaldo. Worth noting that Isco was absolutely fantastic in midfield in place of the injured Gareth Bale. Meanwhile, his teammate Luka Modric believes the margin of victory could have been even greater.
Crowd was behind us from the beginning. It was helping us as well during the game. And like I said, we are very happy. We beat Atletico. Seems easy, but it's against them. We have always tough games, but we did great and scored 3 goals. We could score even more, but with this advantage, we are very happy. And hopefully it will be enough for second leg.
Okay, let's talk about, we talked a lot about Ronaldo and the fact that he pulled up his 42nd hat-trick for Real Madrid, but let's talk about the team set out itself, Paul, and the way that Zinedine Zidane, without Gareth Bale, a player he definitely plays if he's fit, how Zidane did seem to masterfully sort out tactics to easily contain Atletico.
He did. I mean, it was watching. I mean, they weren't a team looking to tear forward, but at the same time, it seemed... Atletico seemed completely subdued by what they were saying. It just seemed everyone was in their right place. You say Bale has been missing. They've not had the BBC all time. Although I'd have to say, Karim Benzema didn't get the goals, but he was an absolute danger all the way. He was a menace all the way through that game, coming close so often. And they couldn't just pay attention to Cristiano Ronaldo because of the way that Karim Benzema played. And that shows we'll be talking later on about the depth that Juventus have, the depth that Real Madrid have. Is absolutely incredible. The fact that they, you know, you can have an Alvaro Morata or a Lucas Vazquez if you don't have somebody else available. And that's why they're in a position they are. I mean, they've got the resources, of course. They've got a coach who, literally, got 16 months experience as a head coach and is able to, you know, maybe be about to keep a perfect record in the UEFA Champions League. I mean, okay, it's handy if you've got Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the two greats of this era, scoring goals, and he's only one off Lionel Messi now. He's now only 11-10 down for the season, considering how far Lionel Messi was after the group stage. So his determination, it would be the fifth year in a row that Cristiano Ronaldo would be the top scorer in UEFA Champions League. It was 4 years in a row before for Messi. 5 now for Cristiano Ronaldo. We know he wants to overtake him in Ballon d'Or.
Paul, I said about the team, and we brought it back to Ronaldo again.
It's just hard. I mean, people could go on for a much, much longer, but it's just the way he dominates. But I'd say everyone, the only reason Ronaldo's able to succeed is because everyone else and the way that he's able to inspire them, they're able to supply him with the balls. And as you mentioned, the performance of Isco, who. Things have been up and down for him, maybe at Real Madrid since his move. He's not always been able to fulfil his potential completely, but he's certainly doing so in recent weeks.
He certainly is. There's no I in team, Paul Saffrey. You know that very well.
What about the Spanish? I think there is an I in that one.
Diego Simeone says it's still all to play for despite the heavy defeat, but what does his counterpart Zinedine Zidane think?
Para nada, claro. Y tiene razón. Nosotros tenemos un partido de vuelta.
Diego Simeone's correct. There is a second leg, but we've played this match very well. We prepared all week and we knew which areas to exploit, and we were far superior today. A 3-0 scoreline doesn't mean it's over, but it signifies we've played a great game. We're going to have to work hard in the second leg and be up for the fight, because they're very strong at home, that's for sure.
Zidane always looks completely relaxed on the touchline. Maybe you do when you have Cristiano Ronaldo in the team. Meanwhile, the Spanish press on Atletico's performance. Marca said that Atletico didn't really offer enough and that the numbers don't lie. They referred to the one-on-one chance for Gamero, a volley over from Godin and a ballooned Carrasco effort, and said that's really all they offered. They made 356 passes compared to Madrid's 604. And lost possession with loose passes as well. Here's what the paper said. Atletico played their worst game at the worst possible moment in the worst place. And that's probably quite a succinct and accurate way of putting what happened on Tuesday.
I mean, the word I've been using is subdued. They just didn't seem to have...
It didn't look like them, did it?
They didn't seem to play with the spirit that we've been so used from all Diego Simeone's teams that have reached a couple of finals and now in the semi-final, even if they're not playing well, they're always going to be troubling you all the time and sometimes even bullying you, but it just didn't happen. It was quite easy for Real Madrid. It was quite surprising, really, to see, you know, Atletico, but whether it's maybe the holes at the back or maybe someone like Griezmann not really being able to. I mean, that's credit, of course, to Real Madrid. It's like takes two to play a game, but as I say, it was very surprising to see Atletico play in the way they did or failed to play in the way they did.
The second leg will, of course, be Atletico's last ever European fixture at the Vicente Calderon, and defender Stefan Savic says they haven't given up hope of turning the tie around.
Now it's going to be difficult because we lost 3-0 without scoring a goal, but we are going to believe until the end because there is still 90 minutes to play. It's going to be very, very difficult, but we don't give up and we believe that we can recover this loss.
Well, if they do get an early goal, that place will be absolutely rocking. If you had to sort of put a percentage on their chances of turning it around, no side has ever, let alone 3-0, a two-goal deficit in a semi-final of this competition, what would you rate Atletico's chances of being in Cardiff?
Well, I mean, it's hard to put it at greater than 10%, really. I don't want to write them off, I want people to be listening next week.
No, I think that's fair.
But it's, as you say, it's only, even in the history of the European Cup, only one team's overturned a 3-0. That was Barcelona in 1986, so that's the task they've got against the Real Madrid team. Of course, you'd expect to score, therefore leaving Atletico to need to score five. Now, talked about the Calderon, it is the last European game there. They must have been hoping the very last night of Vicente Calderon would have been the night they brought the European Cup back from Cardiff to parade at the stadium for one last time before they move into the new stadium. Because they've got a record of having got to three finals, losing three finals. It's a unique, unwanted record. They must have wanted to get to the fourth. They must have fancied their chance against, you know, Real Madrid. The game's usually pretty close between them. There's not a lot between them. They play so often, but they've given themselves a mighty task. It would already be a historic night for them, whatever happens, of course, with the stadium. But it would probably be the greatest result in their history if they could turn this one around.
Quick one, Paul. Are Real Madrid the favourites to win it now?
The competition? I don't think there's much between them and Juventus, actually.
OK. Next on Match Day Live, analysis and reaction from Wednesday's last four encounter between Monaco and Juve.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Paul Saffer and me, Rob Daly. Let's turn our attention to Wednesday's semi-final first leg between Monaco and Juventus at the Stade Louis II. This was watched for us by Phil Blacker.
Little back heel, back into the path of Higuain. Fabulous finish into the corner.
And the first blow in the semi-final is struck by Juventus and by Gonzalo Higuain. They have the away goal. Higuain races across the running track to celebrate in front of the travelling fans from Turin. Big goal here in Monaco, and it's gone the way of Juve.
Bernardo Silva in towards Falcao.
Buffon gets down to make the save, but a real chance for Monaco just a minute into this second period. And the Monaco skipper is thwarted by his Juventus counterpart. Dani Alves takes over on the right-hand side, in towards Higuain, stretching and gets there, and scores his and Juventus's second goal of the semi-final. It could make a major difference in the tie of this one. Juventus completely on top. Gonzalo Higuain in the right place at the right time again to apply the finishing touch. It's Monaco 0, Juventus 2. It will be at Matinho again. It's in right footed, and this time the header is just too high from Germain. It's as close as Monaco have come right at the end at Stade Louis-Dreyfus tonight. What a difference that might have made in Turin on Tuesday. But it is just over the top, and I think Buffon got fingertips to it to make sure it cleared his cross.
A wonderful save that preserved a sixth clean sheet in a row in this competition for Juventus. And it's a clean sheet and two goals from Higuain that puts them on the brink of the final in Cardiff in June. Phil Blacker joins us now on Matchday Live. He's been waiting patiently to have his say. And Phil, it would be hard to argue that Juve didn't deserve their victory.
It was fairly decisive, I think, in the end, wasn't it? It had been billed, of course, as this fearless, free-scoring Monaco side against the durable Juventus defence, which would come out on top. And as I say, the answer was fairly conclusive. First time, I think, that Monaco had failed to score in a home game since November of 2015. And it's now 621 minutes and counting in the UEFA Champions League since Juventus last conceded a goal. Number of reasons for that. Again, that wonderful defensive discipline throughout, but also the form of Gianluigi Buffon in goal. First Juventus player to make 100 appearances for the club in the UEFA Champions League. Yet another clean sheet for him. He said after the game, actually, that he wanted to show he still deserves to play at this level despite his age. He works hard every day, he says, for this. And the day I quit, I want people to be sad about it. And I think there'll be a fair few around the world that would be. He's still, on the evidence of what we've seen in this first leg of the semi-final, as good as ever, isn't he?
He was holding court, as you said, in his pre-match press conference ahead of this game as well. Gonzalo Higuain with two goals. And you feel for him psychologically to get those goals at this level after such a long time since he did score in a knockout stage of a UEFA Champions League is probably a huge thing for the player.
Absolutely. Two goals he'd only ever scored in the knockout stages of this competition in his illustrious career. And then he got two in the space of half an hour to make such a difference, scoring just before the half hour, just before the hour. Wonderful balls in, both from Dani Alves, who deserves a huge degree of credit for the goals. But Higuain had to be there to finish them off. He was clinical. Didn't have too many chances throughout the course of the game, but stuck them away. Said afterwards how happy he was, how it was a very important game. We can go back home after a great victory. Goals were not coming for me, he said, in this competition, but I knew I just had to stay calm and keep working hard. We also wanted another clean sheet, and they're obviously delighted with the result, but it's a particularly important one, I think, for Higuain.
It certainly was. Giorgio Chiellini, the Juve defender, believes they are within touching distance of the final.
2-0 away for us is a very important result. Surely we do a strong performance. We can do something better in the defense and sometimes so when we have the ball. But sure, before the match, 2-0 is a dream, is an objective. But we know that our run to Cardiff is going up and it's near day by day.
The thoughts of Giorgio Chiellini there. Phil, for people who are just tuning in or didn't watch or hear the game, can you just explain what Allegri did tactically to really take full advantage of the fact that Monaco were without Benjamin Mendy, their first-choice left-back, which was a surprise, in fairness.
That was a surprise in its own right, yeah. And then Max Allegri sprung something of a surprise of his own by leaving Juan Cuadrado on the substitutes bench, bringing in an extra defender in Andrea Bazzali, who nominally really lined up at right-back, which enabled Dani Alves to play further forward. It gave them the flexibility to, at times, go three at the back, at times when they were under pressure, go five at the back. But the fact that Dani Alves was playing further forward was so important, as it turned out, exploiting the space left by Sidibe, was deputising for Mendy in that left-back role for Monaco. Certainly for the first goal, he got called upfield, and Juventus were able to take full advantage. Brilliant improvised ball from Dani Alves after another surging run forward, and then the quality of the cross for the second goal to set up Higuain made such a difference. So I think, although Juventus have been so settled with their formation this season under Massimiliano Allegri, and it was a surprise that he opted to tinker with that a little bit and certainly change the personnel. Cuadrado would have been disappointed, clearly, to have been left on the bench. It worked out brilliantly for him, and you have to say Allegri got it spot on.
He certainly did, Paul.
Absolutely, I think. How could he possibly have known as well that Bernard Mendy would be out? I mean, he didn't, but he'd got lucky as well as clever. That was the beautiful thing. You know, he probably got his reward, but they're able to keep their 4-2-3-1 formation. They did occasionally move to five at the back when they were being attacked, but with players even out of the normal positions they had because of the Cadera suspension and because of some of the tactical changes, everyone knew what they were doing. Everyone knew where their teammates would be, so it didn't really matter who you put in those positions. They all knew what happened, and also players they were working for each other. Dybala and Mandzukic both made crucial defensive contributions at various stages. Dybala was just a little interception at one point in the first half. They performed those roles as well as coming forward, and in the end, Sidibe, the man who was meant to be watching Dani Alves when he was coming forward, was just kept. He might go forward, but Dani Alves came back from him, was able to play at right back, and then Dani Alves straight back up the other end, so athletic, and leaves the DV for dead, and twice paid dividends with the crosses for the goals.
I mean, there'd be times when you'd see the average positions for Barcelona players, you know, those tactical sheets, and you'd see Dani Alves would be further advanced than Messi on average over a game, even though he was right back at the time. I mean, when he speaks now, Phil, he certainly feels that he was underappreciated at the back end of his days at Barcelona. And at Juve, it's almost given him a fresh injection of life, really, in his playing career.
He does seem reinvigorated, doesn't he, the challenge in Turin, which he really has risen to. Won this competition with Barcelona against Juventus in the final. And it was a major motivation for making the move to try and win the competition again. He's been integral to the side all season, really, down that right-hand side. And, yeah, despite the fact he was playing further forward, you're right, it's kind of where he prefers to play anyway and has spent a great period of his career, even when playing at right-back. But it was such a collective effort from Juventus. Yes, Dani Alves was vitally important. He's right up there, I think, in my thinking for man of the match. But on the other side, certainly in the early stages, Alexandro at left back was getting forward, getting in behind the Monaco defence. Marchisio slotted in for Khedira in the midfield. Paul's mentioned that the work rate of Dybala and Mandzukic in support of the two goals from Higuain. And then you have the defence that kicked the sixth consecutive clean sheet. Buffon making a series of fine saves. Allegri has heralded him after the game as the best goalkeeper in the world still. Everywhere you look, there were heroes for Juventus.
I mean, what Buffon has actually been saying after the game, that his role should be like a surgeon rather than a nurse. He should not make many interventions as a Juve goalkeeper. When he does, it should be decisive, and that's what he's done.
OK, let's hear from the Monaco camp now. Bernardo Silva, the midfielder, admits that the Liga side was second best tonight.
It was a big disappointment for us tonight. We didn't start the game as we wanted to. It's true that Juventus, they played better than us tonight. It's a deserved win. Everybody knows it's one of the best teams in the world. They have a lot of experienced players in the defense, one of the best goalkeepers in the world as well. So it's not easy to play against them. I think also we didn't play very well tonight. It wasn't one of our best nights. Now it's time to think about the league and to try our best on the second game, because we know that it won't be easy, but it's not impossible. We know that we have a good team and we have to show a little bit better than we showed tonight.
The likes of Kylian Mbappe even kept quiet. He forced a couple of good saves from Gigi Buffon in the first half. But we look at the route they've had to the final, Phil, and I think, OK, well, it was Spurs and Leverkusen, two very open sides in their own right in the group stage. Then it was Manchester City, and then it was Dortmund, who were also played wide open. I mean, Juve was possibly the worst draw that Monaco could have had for the semi-finals.
This was the fear pre-match, wasn't it, that finally they would come up against a side who wouldn't be as open, as entertaining and playing into their own hands.
I mean, maybe Real Madrid would have been even better for them, you know.
Quite possibly, I think. If there's anybody that, you know, you don't want to meet and be on the wrong end of a defensive masterclass, Juventus proved that against Barcelona in the previous round and were able to step up and do pretty much exactly the same thing again. And Mbappe, I thought, had a really good start to the game, and it looked like he could be the one that would give them the problems, get in behind. But the longer it went on, the less of a factor really he became in the game, and because of that, Falcao was somewhat starved of service in the middle. It was just an outstanding defensive display again from Juventus, still yet to concede a goal in the knockout stages. Only two now in 11 games in the competition this season. It really is incredible, and exactly, I think, the wrong opponents at the wrong time, as it's turned out, for Monaco, who will still feel, though, because of this fearless season that they've had, this brash, vibrant approach, that they can go to Turin and score. They were predicting that
before the first leg. They're going to have to get a few now. They're going to really have to go for it. But, you know, with the shackles off, this side hit their stride and get out of the blocks early, it's a possibility. Massimiliano Allegri has said that, you know, this is not complete. Monaco will come to Turin with nothing to lose, and that's when he feels they'll be at their most dangerous.
Certainly. OK, gents, we've got enough time for both of you to give us man of the matches from Monaco against Juventus. Man of the match and a good reason why as well. Paul, you're allowed to start this time.
Well, I'm gonna go with Dani Alves just for the fact he was played out of position. I'm sorry, that he wanted.
That was my
Phil
first pick.
Dani Alves.
I'm sorry about that. I thought I might leave Higuain for you, but I think the way he for his defensive performance, his attacking performance, for the back heel for the first cross, the cross for the second goal, just his athleticism, his work rate. I mean, we've just praised him a couple of minutes ago as a magnificent display, even if it's going to be Higuain probably steal the headlines.
It will be Higuain stealing the headlines, so I think I'm going to have to go for him. Clinical nature of the two goals, particularly as we've kind of alluded to, he had a point to prove at this stage of the competition. Ultimately, someone had to be there to finish them off, and he did, and he took his chances. Just maybe, for me, if you take Dani Alves out of the equation, shading Buffon, who I think deserves a nod as well.
OK, which tie is more likely to be turned around, do you think?
I guess the one in Madrid, just because Atletico are at home and they're probably less of Atletico. You can tell Atletico can play a lot better than they played on Tuesday night. So, and they're, I think it's a local derby. They've still got a chance, even if it's a small one, but it's a bigger chance than Monaco. Mm.
I would agree with that, actually. I know the bigger deficit to overturn is in Madrid, but I just can't see any way that Monaco are going to go to Juventus and win.
OK, Paul Saff, is there any need to really ask for your man of the match from Madrid on Tuesday?
Well, I've given it a bit of thought. Esco played very well indeed, but obviously Cristiano Ronaldo now more than 50 knockout goals in the UEFA Champions League. It's not so long ago since Raul's 50 career UEFA Champions League goals was considered amazing. That's just, I mean, there's so many figures you can bring up for Cristiano Ronaldo, but just to watch the way he controls the game, watch the way he took Atletico apart, it's amazing.
Yeah, a hat-trick for Cristiano Ronaldo, a staggering performance. We hope you've enjoyed the latest edition of Match Day Live after two more enthralling nights of UEFA Champions League football. On Tuesday, Cristiano Ronaldo's hat-trick helped Real Madrid beat their fierce City rivals Atletico Madrid 3-0, and it means they take a huge stride towards yet another final. Of course, they've won it two times in the last three seasons. Then on Wednesday, a Gonzalo Higuain brace spoiled the Monaco party in the Principality as Juventus ran out impressive 2-0 away winners, and they do have this remarkable home record in Turin as well. Make sure you join us for the second legs on Tuesday the 9th and Wednesday the 10th of May to find out which clubs will seal their places in the Cardiff showpiece in June. Until then, from Phil Blacker, Paul Saffer and myself, Rob Daly, and all of the Match Day Live team this evening, it's goodbye.
Headed away only as far as Casemiro, and there's Cristiano Ronaldo with the first goal of this UEFA Champions League semi-final.
Benzema, edge of the area, he gives it to Ronaldo, who gets away from Felipe Luis and finds the corner with a thunderbolt of a right foot. Cristiano Ronaldo does it again. Lucas gets to the byline, pulls it back, Casemiro leaves it to Cristiano Ronaldo. It's another hat-trick, it's another brilliant performance from the Portuguese, and it's one foot into the final for Real Madrid.
Little back heel back into the path of Higuain, fabulous finish into the corner, and the first blow in the semi-final is struck by Juventus and by Gonzalo Higuain. They have the away goal.
In towards Higuain, stretching and gets there and scores his and Juventus's second goal of the semi-final.
It could make a major difference in the tie of this one. Juventus completely on top.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.